Hi, this is Pastor Mark, and it's great to be in the studio with two sisters, Lori Ann Hoffman and Alicia Fooley. They have come to be with us, joining us from California, and they are former Seventh-day Adventists. They have a lot to share, and we want to hear their experience and what the Lord has done in their life. And they have, being fifth-generation Seventh-day Adventists, a lot to share with us. I'm going to start with Alicia. Alicia, would you just tell me how it was that you became a Seventh-day Adventist and share a little bit about your history that way?
Well, I was born a Seventh-day Adventist and went to Sabbath school all during my childhood and went to Adventist Elementary and Academy and went on to nursing school at Loma Linda University. And I was baptized into the Adventist Church in 1986.
Mm-hmm. Your sister is in studio with us, too. Lori Ann is here. Lori Ann, obviously that means probably you were born into Adventism as well, correct?
That's correct.
And did you go through the same kind of experience with schooling and all of that?
Yes, first grade through nursing school, and my parents were both born Seventh-day Adventists, and so basically all of our family, our friends, mm-hmm. our world was involved in Seventh-day Adventism.
Would the two of you say that there's a real distinct subculture of Adventism? You are former Adventists now, so you are speaking from a Christian perspective, an evangelical Christian perspective. And when we look at, say, Southern Baptists or Methodists, or we look at, you know, other Christians, somebody who, a Calvary Chapel Christian or something like that, we don't say, well, you know, they go to a Calvary Chapel hospital and go to Calvary Chapel schools and eat at only Baptist restaurants or something. But in Adventism, it's a little different, isn't it?
Yes.
Would you, one of you or both of you, like to respond to that?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I remember as a child feeling very special, I will say. I felt very special being an Adventist, and I loved the Sabbath. This was something that was mm-hmm. very precious to me as a child. And I remember feeling as a child sorry for those that weren't Adventist. I had that sort of feeling. I felt separate and different. I don't know how that was put into me, but as a small child, I remember distinctly feeling different, mm-hmm. set apart, and not a part of other Christians, but special. I felt unique. Mm-hmm. And I grew up feeling a part of a very different group or culture
right.
than others, mm-hmm. knowing that if I were to ever venture out beyond it, I knew I wouldn't feel comfortable.
It seemed a little scary to you, you
mm-hmm.
think? How about you, Lori Ann? Did you feel like you were in a culture all of its own?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've always been very involved in the church, involved in Sabbath school, leading out in the children's divisions, singing. And yet, now that I'm in the Christian community and I am a Christian, I really didn't realize back then that really Adventism does not share anything with the Christian community as far as the belief system and the doctrines. And that was my greatest surprise because I thought that I was evangelical-oriented Adventist and that we were really no different from the Christian community except for that we went to church on Sabbath. And there were some minor points, but that basically we were like the Christian community, and having started worshiping and having been born again, I realized that we share nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting because my experience was, and my wife's as well, was that we felt very different from the Christian mm-hmm. community. Like we were light in a dark world. The rest of the world was Babylon, and right. we were God's people. We were the Jews of today, and modern Israel is what we believe we were. And we felt that distinctness and separateness, especially when I left. It was like stepping out into no man's land when we were forced to leave Adventism for the sake of the gospel of grace. I thought, oh man, what are we going to do, you know? Because everyone we knew, from our dentist to our place where we bought our food, was Seventh-day Adventist, you know, the vegetarian food and all. It was really traumatic that way. Mm-hmm. But I'm hearing Lorianne say that what you felt, you were the quote, evangelical, unquote,
yes.
Adventist. And I'm hearing Alicia say you were more like, I would say, more the common Adventist who really believes that you're distinct and separate, and you weren't.
And I felt sorry for those that were not Adventist.
Those poor apostate Christians, apostate Protestants, like that's what we called them. There is debate right now over what are Adventists? Are they evangelical Christians that just have a few odd beliefs, you know, this vegetarian stuff, and they go to church on Saturday? Or are they a cult? Really, are they a cult? And I know that some of the top Christian thinkers today are reinvestigating Adventism, people like Hank Hanegraaff of the Christian Research Institute, and other Christian leaders are really being asked questions nowadays, because there's so many people leaving Adventism. They're being asked, hey, is the Adventist Church evangelical? What would you say if someone asked you right now, and I think the people to ask are the people who were there, not someone who studies Adventism, being given Adventist materials by Adventist leaders, but people who lived the life, who were in the subculture, who go back for generations, and that's the two of you for sure. What would you say to somebody? I'll start with you, Alicia. What would you say to somebody who asked you, are Seventh-day Adventists evangelicals? Are they evangelical Christians? Would you say yes, no?
Well, I can only speak from my personal experience, and I know for myself I was not born again until I left the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Mm. And I do not feel that I ever would have been born again had I remained in the church.
Could I ask you a question? Do you think you ever heard the gospel in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? I mean, the simplicity of salvation by grace through faith alone, without it being complicated or corrupted by any other doctrine. Sometimes it's compromised, you know, like with the investigative judgment doctrine that they teach. Did you ever hear an uncompromising gospel message? I mean, before you were saved,
mm-hmm.
you were saved. You were saved coming out of Adventism. Were you saved while you were still in Adventism?
After I'd left and mm-hmm. Gone astray mm-hmm. altogether, yeah. wandered off away from God.
There was no mooring for you there.
Not much.
So you may have heard the gospel a couple of times in Adventism. Wasn't
yes,
a
I mean
event?
The gospel of Christ was studied. It was more intellectually understood,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
But also with the understanding that the commandments were an integral part of the gospel of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now that sounds confusing, maybe
well,
to some people.
I think that's why I wondered if you ever heard the gospel in its purity,
pure gospel,
you know, without being corrupted by, you know, it's by works, because it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And the Adventist gospel is often faith plus works. We're saved by faith, but if you're not keeping the Sabbath in the last days, you're going to be lost.
And that is a work.
Yes.
Sabbath keeping is a work. And even if you don't completely rest on that day, which very few do,
mm-hmm.
you hold it in your heart. The Sabbath is in your heart. And
and you believe in the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. You worship the Sabbath, basically.
It's almost bigger than Jesus. I remember growing up, and it was almost more important.
It's their God.
It was a God.
It's their God. Absolutely.
Now, you come more from the evangelical perspective, Lori-Ann. You're coming from this, I felt like I was like other Christians, and you probably had other Christian friends from...
Well, you know, why I feel very passionately about the question you ask as far as are there evangelical Adventists? Because that's something that is really being talked about and pushed within Adventism, and I find it very deceptive, and I say that only that I've been born again 10 months, and I was heavily involved in the church up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I had enough contact with Christianity via friends and family that veils had been removed from my eyes to a point where I thought that I might be born again, or that I was gospel-oriented and that I would be a light within the Adventist church. And I felt that I could be a light, that I was very evangelical. And yet, feeling that you can somehow mix the gospel of Jesus Christ with the gospel of Adventism, there is no way that those two can mesh. There is no way that you can make it work. And many people will talk grace. I was brought up with a wonderful pastor that taught...
You're talking about many people in Adventism will talk grace.
Yes.
That's what
or
you
they
mean.
Can... Well, they'll talk the love of God.
Yes. Uh-huh.
They will talk grace. But yet, of course, with Adventism, it's one side says that, and then the other side... always brings in the Sabbath. And for me, the Sabbath was the part why I stayed in Adventism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's where most, a person can get so far in Adventism and they can reject or get so far, but that's the Sabbath is the noose around the neck. It's ingrained in your very being that there just isn't any way you can see past that.
Right. I think there's something that most Christians don't realize, and that is that the Seventh-day Adventists believe, and they teach, and it's a current teaching. It's not something they've dropped off. In fact, they haven't dropped any of their teachings ever. They sometimes do a facelift to make it look a little more attractive and more palatable to the culture. But they still believe in a judgment of works for salvation. The old name for it is the investigative judgment. It's a doctrine that their prophetess, Ellen G. White, began teaching, and of course the church upholds. Now it's called the pre-Advent judgment, but it's a judgment to figure out who's safe to save. That's sort of a common Adventist term. Are you aware of the teaching?
The General Conference and all of the writings that, whether it's their publications, quarterlies, educational material, this is very much taught today. And, in fact, my children were taught this just this last year, which was quite disturbing.
They were taught that they would be saved by a judgment of their works.
That currently each and every person and each and every child has a book that Jesus is currently has opened and is weighing their sins, their good and bad deeds, and they will not know if they are saved until Jesus comes, and they have absolutely no assurance. And yet then on the other side they'll say that God is love.
And they're saved by grace.
Yes.
The two. Go ahead. You were about to say something.
How are we saved by grace when our good and bad deeds are being weighed? I don't understand that.
Well, you know, there's a scripture that is so important here in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. It says, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit." there could be no way that we could be saved by our works, or even have our works enter into judgment, because in John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says these words. Let me read them. I just think it's so apropos right now to the point where we are, speaking to this point. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, mm-hmm. and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life."
Praise
so how
God.
Could
Amen.
A believer enter into a judgment of their works for salvation?
He isn't. He isn't going really, to be. It really is a spiritual abuse, and it really is blasphemy. I will use that word strongly, because these doctrines blaspheme the gospel of Jesus Christ.
They're a different gospel,
and
aren't they?
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. And you ask initially mm-hmm. if there are cultic doctrines. Mm-hmm. And absolutely this is, because it says that when Jesus ascended, he's at the right hand of God. Mm-hmm. He is not in a sanctuary mm-hmm. busily working, as if he doesn't know our sins.
You're sort of taking for granted that everybody knows what you're talking about, and that's okay. But the Adventist view of things is that Jesus ascended into heaven, but instead of going to the right hand of God, which the New Testament says he did at least 15 times, the New Testament says he's at the right hand of God, or sitting or standing at the right hand of God.
Yes.
They don't believe that. They believe that it wasn't until 1844 that he went in to the right hand of God. Before that, he was in an outer compartment of some heavenly temple and doing a priestly work like Aaron the priest would be doing. And I think it's strange, because the book of Hebrews says that he's a priest not after the order of Aaron,
right.
but after the order of Melchizedek.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And they even show him dressed up in Adventist literature like Aaron the high priest. And the whole point of the book of Hebrews is he came to bring a different covenant, not like the Aaronic covenant. So anyway, but you're so right in what you were saying. I just wanted to fill in a little knowledge gap right there. So you were saying that Jesus is in heaven trying to deal with sins he didn't know about.
That's obviously seems to be that our God doesn't know all about our sins.
And has to write them down.
Right.
And it seems... And to
have been raised from birth on up, because that is taught in the schools,
yes.
in the Sabbath schools, through the literature, because with Adventism, the literature that is sent out worldwide, so that all the Sabbath schools mm-hmm. are all being taught all the same things. And this is from, it's very organized, the indoctrination.
Yes.
And it goes to the very heart and soul of a person.
Would, Alicia, would you say that you concur with the descriptions that you've heard of the investigative judgment and being taught that?
Well, you know, I was just about to... say that, unfortunately, many, many Adventists, especially the youth, no, they have never heard this.
This is interesting.
They have never heard this, and that is why many people on the outside, you know, the Christian community, when they talk to a varied sample of Adventists, will get different ideas of what Adventism is.
That's important.
And particularly if they talk to the youth, they won't hear about these things that you're talking about now, and they will get a different picture of Adventism.
So they'll see, hey man, they just seem like the Baptist guys mm-hmm. just meeting on Saturday.
Saturday, right.
And maybe that is what confuses those who watch cults, those who study cults and all. Maybe they have known a nice Adventist doctor, a young doctor,
yes.
a nice Adventist dentist or something. And maybe the dentist doesn't even know what his church really believes.
Exactly, exactly.
That doesn't make it.
Well, I think we've probably all met Mormons that didn't really know what their church taught.
Right.
You mean we believe Jesus is the half-brother of Satan? You know, I know Mormons that I've talked to who didn't even know their church's teaching and
right.
Were shocked by it. I think you brought up a very good point, because this is where the Christian church is being deceived by Adventism.
Yes.
It's partly by the church's propaganda efforts to appear Christian.
Exactly.
But it's also by the ignorance of the members.
Exactly.
So it's a twofold kind of I think it's almost like an attack on Christendom, you know, to bring in false doctrine or to be accepted. Because the only reason Adventists want to be accepted is so that they can make converts. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Well, yes, I mean, they have a very distinct message mm-hmm. that they feel compelled to spread throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would say that one of the most important doctrines, of course, that distinguishes Seventh-day Adventists is the keeping of the Sabbath.
Definitely.
And whereas Seventh-day Adventists differ from other Sabbatarian groups, Seventh-day Adventists keep their people keeping the Sabbath by stressing that in the last days, the day you worship on will determine your salvation.
Exactly.
The keeping of the Sabbath, they believe, is the seal of God. And the keeping of Sunday in the last days, during the Great Tribulation, or they call it the time of trouble, will be the mark of the beast. Correct? Would you concur?
Yes, absolutely. And one thing that I think is a very simple question that anyone could ask a Seventh-day Adventist, no matter whether they appear evangelical or whether they're more traditional or whether they don't even go to church, is to just ask a Seventh-day Adventist, what is your scenario of the last days or during the tribulation? What mm-hmm. is going to happen? Because within Adventism, there is only one
right.
scenario.
There's one view.
Right.
Right.
And that is where they all concur.
Mm-hmm. And that is that those who keep the Sabbath will be sealed with the seal of God, because the Sabbath is the seal of God. And those who do not keep the Sabbath will be receiving the mark of the beast and be lost.
Right.
Yes. Go ahead.
And this is why people... Or this is why Seventh-day Adventists don't leave the church. Because even if they don't go to church, they certainly won't go to another church, you know, a different, non-Adventist church.
Sunday church,
as they even call them. If they, in their hearts, believe that all of Adventism is hogwash, you know, mm-hmm. even if they think it's all just a bunch of hooey, mm-hmm. they will... not seek out worshiping somewhere else, because just in case they're right mm-hmm. and Sabbath is the seal, I can still say that I'm a Sabbath keeper,
right?
Per se, and people don't leave. People mm-hmm. don't. People are frightened to leave.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh. Go ahead. Do you want?
I really believe that the movement within Adventism is to be considered a Christian church and not a sect, and this is where the greatest deception is taking place, because they will say, well, today we don't believe that people who worship on Sunday have the mark of the beast, and they'll stop at that, and they'll say, well, no, you know, God knows your heart, and you know the truth that you've been given, you know, will save you, but you go the next step. But in the last days.
So if I, as a, say I was a cult watcher, and I was to go to them on the basis of what we've shared and say, hey, I've just been told that Seventh-day Adventists believe that if I keep Sunday, I'm going to hell.
They'd say no.
They'd say, oh my, no, no, no.
Right.
You're following the light you have.
Mm, right.
I remember, I used to be a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, so I can remember saying that, you know. But what we wait to tell them until they're in the church or close to being in the church is, but if you're keeping that Sunday in the last days, you will be lost.
Yes.
And
that is such a cultic doctrine.
Yes.
It's so unbiblical.
Right.
Well,
right.
And Seventh-day Adventists will look at, you know, born-again Christians and consider them, or consider that they will see the light and the truth of Adventism eventually.
because they believe they're going through the tribulation. So when the tribulation starts
right.
coming and the Sunday laws start coming, mm-hmm. then all of these wonderful Christians that are worshiping on Sunday will realize
the
truth.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to just for a minute talk about what the seal of God is, because as I read the Bible, I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, and it says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge." I mean, that is really clearly saying that I have been sealed, we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is a pledge. He's a guarantee is another way that you could translate that word. And then looking at the book of Ephesians, I'm looking at chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory." It says really clearly here, you were sealed in him. That's past tense.
Isn't that a wonderful promise?
Oh, it's great. I mean, my whole life in Adventism, I was thinking, someday I'm going to be sealed. I wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking, I hope someday I'll be sealed.
Right.
Can you relate to that,
right.
Alicia?
Well, family members have shared their concern or their future hope, I hope that I am someday sealed.
I wanted to be perfect enough. I mean, I remember all my life, I mean, thinking about the last days, I mean, to get my character in shape so that I could have that sealing.
Yeah, and that is one of the, we won't get into it, but one of the doctrines that's also involved here that's peculiar to Adventism is that you have to be perfect in order to be sealed. That means sinless. You have to stand before God without a mediator, which is impossible. Jesus says he ever lives to make intercession for us. Well, getting back to this, I read one more verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Why don't you read it? Go ahead, Lorianne, and read it out of your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30.
"And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption."
I mean, this is wonderful. It says, sealed until the day of redemption. I mean, that goes through the tribulation, doesn't it? That takes you
Absolutely.
All the way through it to the end,
God.
To the other side. And it means we have that sealing right now. So that also has to mean that the Sabbath isn't the seal of God.
It
the
doesn't
Holy Spirit
say in
is.
My Bible anywhere that the seal of God is the Sabbath. I've looked and looked. And
that's great.
Thank God that it's his Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Which he clearly says over and over.
I was writing somebody today, and I actually two people, I was responding to questions, and I said the same thing. In my Bible, nowhere does it say the Sabbath is the seal of God. But the Holy Spirit is. He is the seal of God. And I think, you know, when the Christian community realizes that this group that wants to be called evangelical believes that most of Christendom is going to go to hell
right.
because of the day they worship the Lord Jesus Christ on. It's not like we're worshiping a false god. We're not worshiping Buddha or Muhammad or somebody else. We are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet on the basis of that, we will be lost. We'll be lost on the basis of which day we worship on. I mean,
it's crazy.
It's incredulous. It makes you incredulous. You think, what is going on here?
Well, bottom line, God doesn't say that. And you know, the only word that we can depend on is his word, and that's the Bible.
Right.
And he's very clear, and the gospel is very clear in the Bible, and that is such a promise and a blessed hope that is not given within the Adventist church. And
That's
hallelujah,
right.
being born again and being a Christian,
right.
I thank God every day.
In Colossians 2, 16 and 17 says, "Therefore let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respectful to a festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ.
Amen.
And he covers all the bases there. In Colossians, he says festivals, those were the yearly Sabbaths, new moons were the monthly Sabbaths, and Sabbath days were the weekly Sabbaths. And he says, don't let anybody judge you concerning any rest day. So if he's saying that, how could it be then that at the end of time, the rest day would become an issue of salvation? It couldn't be. I do want to go on to just a couple of other things to ask you about. Now, I heard you say, Lorianne, that you felt like Adventists had no doctrine in common with evangelical Christians. Do you think you're stretching it a bit there, or would you say they have something in common?
They believe in Jesus Christ. I know that I say that with passion, and it sounds very extreme, but on the basis of the fact that I am now worshiping regularly within the Christian community, and I am worshiping where the Holy Spirit is and having an understanding of the Holy Spirit's work, even the Trinity is something that I feel is even blasphemed because of the fact that they, I feel, are grieving the Holy Spirit in the fact that they deny the work of the Holy Spirit personally indwelling with a believer. And because the Bible says when you're born again, you are sealed with my Holy Spirit. They will go so far as to say, well, you take that out of context. That is an initial, but that is not your guarantee of salvation.
Even though it says it's a guarantee.
Even though it says that in Scripture.
Well, let me move. Let's move to a different subject, a little more even personal for you. And I'm going to ask Alicia just a question. Alicia, what is your testimony right now of freedom in Christ, knowing Jesus Christ? Would you say that because you have a personal relationship with him now, your life has changed?
I'm altogether different.
Mm-hmm.
I hear myself saying things, feeling things, desiring things that I never would have dreamed possible in my life just a year ago.
That's wonderful.
Yes, I hunger to be around other believers. Mm. Prior to my conversion, I was sort of repelled by them, repulsed by them. I thought born-again Christians were fanatical and extreme, and I had no desire to know them. But now I hunger to be near them, and when I meet one on the street, you know, and we discover that we're both believers, I'll say, "Hey, sister, hey, brother."
Mm-hmm.
It's a new joy and a new feeling of unity in the body of Christ. I'm a part of the body now. I am not separate and set apart and different from the body of Christ. I'm in the body of Christ. It's just an incredible awakening for me. I desire to go to church, which I never did before. I go every Sunday and
That's
Bible
great.
Study in the middle of the week, and I never dreamed I would ever be that would be a part of my life. I'm a churchgoer.
Yeah.
I was not a churchgoer as an Adventist. So yes, many things have changed, and my heart too. I have a more giving heart. I want to reach out and help and give, and before I was a little stingy and a little, you know, bit resentful if I had to give, you know, of my monies or whatever. But there have been many changes in my ideas and in my desire to grow in the Word of God. I never read my Bible. before, and now I hunger to open it and read it and get in touch with the Lord through His Word. So
that is so
I've had
neat.
A transformation. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, they become
a new creation.
The old things pass away, and everything becomes new.
Yeah.
And that transformation has taken place because you've been touched by the grace of God, by the gospel of His grace.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I want to ask you both, and either of you feel free to respond, but has it cost you anything to leave Adventism? Has there been a price that you've paid?
You do pay a price that when you're out, I would gladly pay 1,000 times over, but you do. You lose your culture, which I think is something that many find overwhelming, to be able to give up, being able to go to any church in the world and say, oh, your mother knows so-and-so, oh, you know your aunt. It's a culture. That being a big fish in a little pond because everybody knows you or your parents.
Mm-hmm. The reason why I'm asking this, and I do want you to continue, is because I know right now listening to this, to our tape, are people who are on the verge of making this decision. And we're talking to pastors' wives, teachers. We're talking to 4th, 5th generation Seventh-day Adventists right now, and they're listening. And they've gotten a copy of this tape or a bootleg copy of this tape, or, you know, and they're sneaking around, maybe even listening to this right now. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to their heart. And they're counting the cost right now. I mean, they really are. They've got their calculator out, and they're trying to figure out, is it going to be worth leaving this for Jesus and His truth?
What I would like to say is that when you are contemplating leaving, it does seem overwhelming. And if I could encourage anyone, if they knew anyone that is a believer, that they know that is either out of Adventism, that's a born-again Christian, or if they know someone, or if they could just step foot into a church where they could feel the Holy Spirit, that is something that I feel is what led me out, is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to worship and feel God's presence, being able to have Him touch your heart. The cost, looking back, is nothing compared to the riches that He has given. And also, I want to encourage people that the testimony that we have, being born again and being a former Adventist, God wants to do a beautiful work within
mm-hmm.
your heart, and we have a unique testimony
mm-hmm.
to be able to share with others, because the cost is about Jesus Christ, and it is about eternal life with Him, and it is about experiencing the Holy Spirit and about having the fruit come out of your life in a beautiful way.
Alicia, what are your thoughts about counting the cost at this moment? People are deciding what to do.
Well, there is nothing greater than an intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there just isn't anything more important, more beautiful, worth more than that relationship and with the Lord. And since coming out of Adventism, I have something now that I never did before. I have a passion mm-hmm. for the Lord. I'm not ashamed of Him. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the way I have to admit I was in the Adventist church. It was a little embarrassing, you know, to say, yeah, I go to church on this day, and or, you know, on Sabbath, and yeah, I'm an Adventist. You know, it wasn't something I stood up proudly to proclaim.
Mm-hmm.
But now I can stand firm proclaiming Jesus Christ as my Lord, and I am not ashamed.
There's a boldness in truth, too.
Absolutely, and mm-hmm. everything in Scripture now, it makes sense. I mean, the from beginning to end, when God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all of it makes sense. When you read your Bible, you don't have to be intimidated that if you don't have a commentary or if you don't have certain notes that you won't be able to understand the verses. The verses are there for you to grab hold on. And when it says you have a blessed hope, you have a blessed hope.
Yes, you don't have to be afraid of Jesus' return.
And there's a boldness, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I could shout it to the rooftops.
Go ahead.
Well, the Word of God is real. It is not cloaked in mystery where you have to have a PhD to understand it, like you were saying. It means what it says, and it's literal, and you read it, and you... You
can understand it, can't you?
Yes.
Jesus wasn't writing to us in secret code.
No.
The Lord gave us His Word in a way that we could live by it. It's supposed to be daily bread.
And the Holy Spirit is the one that will teach us,
edify us.
It's not a person that saw
a vision, or
someone writing. The Holy Spirit, God's own Holy Spirit, will teach you, and these words are alive for us.
As we close right now, I would just like to encourage those of you who are listening to hear what has been shared by Lori Ann and by her sister, Alicia, because there is a heart here that is beating for you. I wish you could see the expressions on their faces, and you could see the depth of passion that they have and concern for you. They know what you're going through. They know what it's like to be a Seventh-day Adventist. They know what it's like to struggle with the doubts and the fears. And they have a heart to see you in true Christian freedom. I want to encourage you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you haven't done that yet. He said, whoever will call on Him, He will save. And you can know you're saved. It's very simple. It's not a long, complicated thing. And you don't have to enter into judgment, as we read in John chapter 5, verse 24. There's no condemnation, Romans 8:1, for them that are in Christ Jesus. Those who are justified by faith, Romans 5:1, have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you to hear their hearts and believe their testimony. Jesus Christ has changed their lives, and He can do the same for you. And don't be afraid to step out. Jesus said, it might cost you something to follow Me. You might lose your father or mother or your house or your possessions. He said, if anyone is willing to take up my cross and follow Me, he can be my disciple. And there might be a cross for you right now. But I know I can testify, as someone who was an Adventist pastor for 6 years and then left and lost everything for a while. But I can testify that what I lost, I count as nothing compared to what I've gained in knowing Christ. And the Lord has just multiplied thousandfold in terms of life, ministry, grace, knowledge, what I ever had before. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the privilege that we have of ministering Your Word and sharing together the experience of our salvation. And Lord, I pray that You would bring comfort to the hearts of those who are searching for You and seeking for You and questioning long-held, cherished beliefs. Thank You, Lord, for this holy moment. And I pray, Lord, right now that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You will break through the walls of fear, the walls of pride, anything that might be in the way, and that You would allow those precious folks who hear, my brothers, my sisters, those who are seeking You, to let You have every area of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. I really believe that because of what the two of you have shared, Alicia, Lori Ann, that people are going to realize that there is a difference between a Seventh-day Adventist and an evangelical Christian. Your testimonies are evidence that is the truth. And I happen to know, because I'm in contact with so many former Adventists, as well as you are, that this same conversation could take place thousands of times. Thank you for being with me and for coming alongside here and sharing. Appreciate it.
It's our pleasure.
God bless you.